together at church, we're going to keep trying to find ways and new experiences of being together without being in person, like we're doing with the live streaming this morning. St. Luke's is never shy in the face of difficulties and challenges. And with the assurance of God's help, we will continue to make sure that these days of sheltering in place and quarantining at home, which feel more like Good Friday right now to most of us, will nevertheless bring us Easter and resurrection. Someone recently said change is a muscle, and the more you use it, the stronger it grows. In the midst of change, we need the spiritual strength and stability of what we know, what is always ancient, always new in our church, our traditions, and our faith. So, in the spirit of what we've already been doing here at St. Luke's in this Lenten season, your clergy and staff want to continue to build on our Lenten theme, which is the way of love, which includes talking about what it means to worship, to pray, to bless, to turn, and to go. This morning, which is the fourth Sunday of Lent, is about learning. And what a perfect time it is to be learning. We're definitely learning about social distancing, having children and spouses back home 24/7, using Zoom for our work meetings and online gatherings with family and friends, and finding those needed routines to help us get through our days. So today we invite you to suspend the familiar and the predictable ways that you experience worship. Open your hearts and your minds and learn by watching and observing as we do an instructed Holy Eucharist, which has been the central act of worship for more than 2,000 years. And just to assure you, our Book of Common Prayer does talk about a spiritual communion if for any reason we are unable to physically receive the bread and the wine. We can be assured that because we are unable to do so, we nevertheless are receiving the benefits of communion, even though the sacrament is not received by our mouths. In the 1928 prayer book, there also was an instruction, also called a rubric, that stated that for reasons of sickness or other impediment, when people could not receive the sacrament of bread and wine, if a person repented of his or her sins and believed that Jesus Christ suffered death upon the cross for them and offered hearty thanks, the person, in fact, was receiving the body and the blood of Christ for his or her soul's health. With these assurances in mind that we, in fact, do not physically have to receive the body and blood of Christ in these extraordinary times, we are still doing sacramental work, gathering as Christians this morning in a virtual and profound new way to still listen to Scripture, praying and participating in our own risen Lord's mystical body and blood, just as the faithful have done throughout the ages. In these simple acts, we enact the truth of our lives. So let's open our hearts and our minds to what the Spirit is offering to us in ways that are beyond our imagining, and trust that they will be life-giving with a God who is in all things. The word Eucharist is a Greek word meaning thanksgiving. It's one of the oldest forms of Christian worship. Other names for this service include the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, the Mass, and the Divine Liturgy. In a way, the Eucharist is like a family gathering. And as the family of Christ Jesus, we gather to celebrate our connectedness, to tell family stories, to spend time together, to break bread and eat, even virtually, to share our present life, its joys and its sorrows, and to look forward to the future. And today, we are trying this in an ever-ancient, ever-new way of tradition that the church does at its creative best. It cannot be stressed enough. The Holy Eucharist, especially in these times, is about being together with God the Father, Christ Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. marriage should be celebrated with joy. And if we find no delight in all of this, we are missing the point. Often, we're too serious with one another and with God. And as it is every week, something overwhelmingly good is being done to us in Jesus Christ, even in a great and grace-filled virtual meal of Thanksgiving being spread before us online today. So now, in this season of Lent, we begin the service today with the penitential order, which includes the confession and the Kyrie, found in our bulletins that were posted online for us to download and use to follow along. As all things are a work in progress, if you were unable to download the bulletin, please just follow along and listen with the ears of your heart and join in us with us as you are able.
Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
God's mercy endures forever.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen.
Are specially appointed for which enables us to do three things: to hear a portion of God's word that we might avoid, to hear much of the Bible over 3 years, and to hear the vital, life-giving texts repeatedly. Our first reading comes from the Old Testament and is followed by the recitations, singing or chanting of the psalm. Our second reading comes from the letters of the New Testament. The lessons and the psalm keep us grounded in the writings that shape our faith. Our final scripture passage is always from one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, which recounts the life and teaching of Jesus. When we are in church, we stand for this gospel reading as an expression of our attention, respect, and reverence for the Lord. Jesus comes to us, we believe, as the words of Scripture are read and as they are explored in the sermon. And although my narration is done this morning in lieu of a sermon, the purpose of the sermon is to connect what we heard in the Scriptures to Jesus, whom we hear and meet daily at our breakfast tables, in the morning news, and in our workplaces and homes. We are tempted to think that God wants to meet us somewhere else, in some holy place or in some special place that is anywhere but in our daily lives. But God